This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Vinny watched the games from the owner's box. Haney sat with Wild Bill Hagee.
Come on, Ken! Put it in the bullpen!
Vinny and Haney.
Come on, Al! Hit a home run now!
105.7 The Fan.
And as great as he's been through his career, as he tomahawks one to right field, and it is gone for Adley Rutschman.
He has, I think that all starts in the clubhouse and starts in the bullpen and the communication that our pitching and catching guys have, but also just the relationship. He's doing a great job of putting himself out there, really trying to get to know these guys and what they like, what they don't like. Yeah, you're going to go through those kind of moments. They still have good stuff. Just, you know, this is why we have spring training, is to get guys built up and feeling comfortable on the mound again. And command wasn't as good as it was in Bradenton, but still pretty good.
You know, I think facing opposing uniforms for the first time, hopefully, you know, gets a little extra thrill out of it. But we just want to see him come off the mound healthy. I don't think results or even stuff of velocity is that important today. Probably some of the least amount of competition that we've had in a camp. A lot of that is, you know, we've got some players that are established. And so I think we have a pretty good idea what the team's look like with full health. But we've got to get to the end of the camp with that health.
Mike Elias, Ravens general manager, that was yesterday on Masson, talking about the state of the roster 3 weeks into spring training. And Rich Dubraw, BaltimoreBaseball.com, wrote about it today. It's the halfway point of spring training already. I mean, they're coming back on the 23rd. Today's what, the 4th?
Yeah.
So he said the competition, a lot of spots are already kind of taken. And we'll talk to Danielle Allentuck later in the show. And, of course, you, the audience there on this Turn Up Tuesday. But I mean, where's the openings? Your catcher situation set. As Mike Elias said to Rockabaco Amassin yesterday, the trade possibilities for a starting pitcher not happening. Not to say they won't make a trade, and injuries might have something to do with that if, in fact, it goes down. I mean, Mateo's probably not going to be ready for opening day, so there's going to be an extra infield spot for you. Looks like Gunnar and Westberg are going to be ready to rock and roll because they're off today, the Orioles, in a couple of days, which is good news. Kerstad scored 2 runs, had a knock and a walk, stolen a base after a relatively slow spring. I'm asking, because, you know, I'm trying to think and nothing's happening. Where's the competition? It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn It Up Tuesday, and Nolan McGraw get in here. You got O'Hearn and Mountie, Holiday, Urias, right? Second base. Then Urias can play third. Literally all 5 infield, pardon me, spots. Gunner's your shortstop. Westy, your third baseman. You got Kowser, Mullins, O'Neill. Your outfield, your three. Kerstad, your fifth. I guess Laureano's fighting for a spot.
Yeah.
Dylan Carlson's got options, which probably hurts his cause if he wants to come north with the team. But the bullpen, and we'll get to Batista here in a second, seems all the arms are there. The rotation, barring injuries, Hyde said it 2 days ago. It's Eflin, Kramer, Grayson Rodriguez, Sagano. Who am I forgetting here? Forgetting somebody. Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
Suarez is your sixth. Povich is your seventh, so there's no openings there. Povich will not be pitching out of the bullpen. Where's the fight for the roster? The question is, a lot of Oriole fans, and, you know, can't please everyone, is this roster good enough to win? I mean, I think they are. But Mike Elias said, we just heard it. Hey, man, we're competition. We're kind of, there's no openings. So for you, Kobe Mayo, for instance, you know, even if you Povich has been brilliant, they're going to probably start the year in Norfolk.
Right. I thought it was an interesting comment by him. Usually, I think he'd probably opt to just leave things open-ended. He's often pretty vague and mysterious at times about where he's going with his comments. So I thought that was interesting. But one area where I was just anticipating or flat-out expecting competition was the outfield. I mean, you made all those additions. You only got the three starting spots. Something's got to give. And the Carlson thing, naturally, him having the options, like you said, that all right, that clears up some of the issue. But still, O'Neill, Kerstad, Laureano, kind of for that third spot, can you keep all three of those guys on the opening day roster? I mean, maybe they could. I don't know if they'd rather have an extra bullpen guy to start the year or not. Maybe that's something that, you know, towards the end of the season, you'd rather have the extra bullpen guy than the extra bench player. But we'll see what they do.
I would say this, Bob. If you got a lot of competition, probably not a really good team. I mean, the better they've gotten, the less competition. It's like the Ravens. I mean, you look at the Ravens, same thing. You know, where are the holes? You know, you don't have, and the Orioles, they don't have a lot of holes. Why? Because they're in the third year of this thing, and they're competing for the World Series. Those teams don't have a lot of holes. And it, 3 years ago, there was a ton of competition.
Now, you have questions.
Right.
I mean, who replaces Burns? Fair. Batista was outstanding yesterday, topping out at 97 on the gun. But as Hyde has even said, no, he's back-to-back multi-out saves. That's not happening until the second half of the season, if it happens at all. He's coming north with the team, and we talked about it yesterday against Toronto on the 27th, 3:05 first pitch. By the way, do you see the set games on Apple Plus?
No.
I didn't even notice that till yesterday.
Just got announced yesterday.
Ah, well, bleep that. Anyway, Batista will get the save opportunity if needed. Because remember last year, the Orioles thumped the Angels and Burns was brilliant. But game two, one run game, bottom of the ninth, he's not getting it. Dominguez has been shaky, to say the least, but Soto's got an all-star resume, and after some shaky moments when they first got him from Philly, he settled down. But the point is, you know, your bullpen seems to be okay. I just don't see a lot of holes in this team. For instance, the Yankees, Luis Gil, he's out for 8 weeks. DJ LeMahieu, hurt.
Stanton's
starting on the IL. Again, they're talking about Jazz Chisholm like he's Robbie Alomar. All of a sudden, Judge is a beast. We know that. And when the Orioles play them this season, he's going to hit multiple home runs against the Orioles. But they're already up against it from an injury standpoint. And outside not going for Micah, Westberg and Henderson missing time. Everything's been kind of cool for the Birds injury-wise. Look, Oriole fans might not be happy with what they didn't do in the offseason, spending dough. But everyone else thinks they're going to be good. And I'm one of those everyone else's. Even PT, who hates Kevin Willard, who we'll talk to at the bottom of the hour, thinks the Orioles have a World Series level team. So as Mike Elias talks about, not really a ton of competition. And everything's been relatively quiet, not just Orioles related, throughout baseball. In the trade front, as we're 3 weeks away basically from opening day, three plus. We'll see. Injuries will dictate how things unfold. Looks like Jose Quintana, for instance, could have signed with the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Ed Arbutus was an advocate for the Orioles to sign him. But, you know, moot point now, moving on. Batista, 97, as we said, unscathed inning, 2 Ks, ground ball out. Charlie Morton was outstanding. Had a five-pitch first inning because the game started when we were on the air. I got no problem with Charlie Morton. The only thing I'm worried about is the birth certificate. Yeah, he's 41. Yeah, I mean, he could pitch. We saw it yesterday. Sagano got himself out of a jam. Adley went yard. He scored two runs with a walk and a homer. And, of course, we talked about Kerstad. I mean, look, it's a talented, talented team, and they have been. Look, they've had three straight winning seasons going back to 22. They've been in the playoffs 2 years in a row. They're one of the best teams in the American League, and we'll worry about how much they're going to spend in the big picture down the road, but I might enjoy what they're capable of doing here in 2025. And I think there's a pretty high ceiling for them. But what has happened, now they're in the, getting in the playoffs, it's not acceptable anymore. Getting there's great. And they haven't been in the playoffs 3 years in a row since the 60s into the early 70s. Now it's like, you got to win something. Where the Ravens are, if you don't win the Super Bowl, we don't give a bleep what you do during the regular season, even into the early rounds of the playoffs. Orioles got to, like, win a round or two. Because it's a good dilemma to have as a Baltimore sports fan. You know what I mean? Like, your football team, your baseball team, are considered to be amongst the best in their respective leagues, where anything less than a championship is now unacceptable. Yeah. So that's a good thing, as I see it.
Well, would you guys say this, that so far in spring training, there has really not been any major disappointments?
Mayo, I'd like to see him hit a little better against major league level pitching. But other than that, no.
Yeah. Right.
Your projected starting rotation, every guy has been outstanding. So I'm cool with that. And your closer came out yesterday like he didn't miss a beat.
And Holiday looks much better.
Yeah. I'm not saying they're going to the World Series, PT, but I think they're going to be one of the better teams in the American League.
Well, it's all about the health. I mean, that's the story of this team, especially after looking at what happened to them last year. That kind of sunk them. Sure, guys weren't great in the second half, but the injury factor was huge in what ultimately happened to this team. And the last two spring trainings have not started with good news at all, almost to a point where fans like myself, not almost, we were. I was jaded. I came into this spring training expecting the worst from Mike Elias on day one. It didn't come, and they've stayed healthy so far. It's made a world of difference.
Yeah, the big injuries are Chase McDermott with the latissimus and Trevor Rogers with the dislocated kneecap. And let's be honest, you know, a lot of people forgot he was even on the team, even though I was pro Norby. It is what it is. But Orioles off today, first off day of the spring, and we'll talk about them later in the show. Danielle Allentuck. So after the first couple of weeks, are you feeling a little more encouraged about the prospects for the Birds of Baltimore here in 2025? Terps coming up tomorrow night, 6:30 at Michigan. Maryland now number 13 in the rankings. We'll talk to Kevin Willard, bottom of the hour, about this matchup. Hey, they got 2 7-footers. Not like Reese and Queen going to dominate inside. Hey, a couple of guys, they could do some damage there. And one of those seven-footers, Danny Wolf, he passes very well. He's like, he's a facilitator. So he brings more to the equation than just being tall. But they're coming off getting blown out at home on Sunday by Illinois. So they're going to be a little fired up here. So we'll talk about that with the coach bottom of the hour here. And it's Tag Your It Day in the National Football League. 4 o'clock's the deadline. Ravens, no.
I'm guessing not with Ronnie Stanley. You know, cap number would be big. The only way is if, you know, they're close to a deal, can't get a deal, because they could tag. The only problem is if you tag them, then you're kind of raising your, you're telling the agent that we're willing to go that high. It kills Eric's negotiations.
Yeah, second year in a row, T. Higgins gets tagged in Cincinnati. What does this mean for his long-term contract hopes?
Well, what they said, Bob, was they're tagging him because it gives them more time to get a deal done. And, you know, so they got to, what, July something now to get a deal done? So they can kind of, because they got Chase and Hendrickson and Higgins. They got three big deals to get done, so it gives them more time.
And keep in mind, everybody, if you're not familiar with the cap, and I, you know, it's been in existence for years, and I'm still not, but a tag goes directly against your cap. It's not
the
prorated, spread
thing.
Out.
Yeah, the whole kit and caboodle.
And it's well over
for
20.
T. Higgins, it's $26.1 million.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk about those Orioles as we take a break in spring training off today. You like what you're seeing here, especially from the starting rotation, minus Corbin Burns. Terps tomorrow at Michigan with a chance to move up a little higher, perhaps, in the Big Ten standings. And tag, you're it. Free agency, the legal tampering is less than a week from today. The Athletic has the top 10 free agents at every position. Ravens have a couple of dudes in the offensive line situation, and one of their safeties is one of the top 10. And needless to say, it doesn't look like it's a strong free agent.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crop this year. A week away from legal tampering here in free agency. The draft profiles, Vinny's, will start next week, so we'll get you ready to rock and roll there. Ravens have the 27th pick in the upcoming draft. 11 draft picks overall, and we've been talking about the possibility maybe of dangling extra picks to move up. But, you know, the draft doesn't seem to have the premier transcendent quarterback guy. But Vinny, as you know, the history of the draft is set. We need to draft a quarterback because, you know, we kind of need a quarterback. But Cam Ward, what did he do? Not even throwing.
Yeah.
To separate himself from Shedeur Sanders, and Jackson Dart helped his cause, but maybe not to the point where he's going to be considered to, you know, be a top five, even a first round pick at all, but a draftable guy for sure.
I think a lot of it is, Bob, head coaches, GMs, especially the GMs that don't go out on the road. This is the first time they've seen those guys. So, and the first time they probably really dived into the film. So that's kind of what we're getting right now. I think like during the season, you kind of get, you know, like, the people on TV and stuff, they talk to scouts because that's the only people that have been out watching games. And now, you know, when coaches and stuff get involved, things change a little bit.
Noah, what do you think about this draft here for the Ravens? Hey, look, it's a good scenario to have when you're not picking fifth every year or in the top five. But now you're just looking to supplement a roster that we've all agreed is going to be one of the best in the NFL. And arguably, if they keep Ronnie especially,
oh yeah,
it might be the best roster they've had certainly during the Lamar Jackson era as quarterback. But the draft, do you get tingly yet, or are you still just waiting for things to kind of unfold, knowing that the Ravens won't be picking until late, and who knows what Eric DaCosta's got up his sleeve even then?
Well, every year we have the same discussion. You draft for need or you draft best player available. And I mean, the Ravens are very adamant about best player available. But I feel like in reality for them, it's a mix of both. And this year it kind of lines up that way, where you look at some of the positions on the roster that you would like to make a notable addition at. I mean, there's a good handful. I mean, you could go O-line, you could go in the secondary. I mean, there's certain, like, obviously quarterback, you're not going to take one in the first round. You're not going to take a running back in the first round or probably even a tight end. But beyond that, they do have quite a bit of options. Pass rush, obviously. I mean, so there's some other teams out there, good teams at that, where they say, you know, we really just have one position of need, so we're going to target that. And if the guy's not there, we'll trade back. I mean, I see the Ravens either staying put, picking it where they're at, or even moving up this year. I do. We've started to have rumblings about that. Is this the year that they move up? I think it could be. And I certainly hope it is, because I just don't. 11 picks, I'm sorry. It's just not, it's not what you need right now.
Well, especially if you get Ronnie back, you know, that's a big thing. Then, you know, like you said, like at 27, you know, and when you're 27, you're reacting is what you're doing at 27, because you can't dictate. The only way you dictate, like you said, if you want to move up, because then you're targeting somebody and you know who you're going to get. Otherwise, you're sitting back there and you're saying, kind of like you said, they have a lot of guys, a lot of needs that they could. So, I mean, when you pick at 27, you could say, yeah, we took the best player available. Yeah, they did, at the position of need.
Mm-hmm. And real quick, before we get a break, and then Kevin Willard's going to be joining us. Like you said, no quarterback, no running back. But even if Ronnie stays, could you still go tackle here, or are you set with him and Rosengarten?
I could take a tackle, Bob, if he can play guard, too.
That's what I just could. Then guard, safety, or corner, wide receiver, maybe? I mean, are these all on board or on the table?
You know what I heard somebody say, Bob, which is kind of really funny to me? They said, oh, they don't need, and I still can't pronounce the South Carolina kids.
Well, that sounds like a moot point, because it looks like he's going to be gone.
Right, but I mean, here's what somebody said, Bob, is, well, the Ravens don't need him because he's too much like Kyle Hamilton. They need a guy that can just play, you know, free safety. I mean, Bob, how dumb is that?
Nick Emanwori, South Carolina. Dane Brugler, for instance, today. The Athletic has him going 13 to Miami.
Damn.
So that's a guy that did nothing but help himself.
Yeah.
At the combine. So we might not have to learn how to pronounce his name unless the Ravens are playing the Dolphins at some point in time, perhaps. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, turn it up Tuesday. Terps tomorrow in Ann Arbor, taking on the Michigan Wolverines, number 13. That's Maryland against number 17. Terps haven't won there since 2017, but they exercised the Penn State Demons. Can they do it again? Kevin Willard joins us next. Got Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, 11 o'clock. Talk about legal tampering, and who are the Ravens legally tampering with outside of the organization. He's the head basketball coach, University of Maryland. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline, joins us every Tuesday. Coach Kevin Willard. Coach, what's happening?
Nothing, guys. How you doing?
Doing all right. Well, week that it was, you know, Wednesday, zaniness, to say the least. I was saying things on my couch, Coach, that I'd get fired for if I repeated them today on the air with you, and I'm sure you were probably feeling the same way. 60-foot buzzer beater, and you know, I mean, you've been around the game for a long, long time. You've already had a couple of tough L's this season, but when you watch that thing go through the hoop, what's the first thing that popped in your mind?
Actually, right when he shot it, I knew it was good. It never left the rim. It tracked it the whole way. And the first thing that came through my mind was, you know, that we're going to have to somehow bounce back and get ready for Penn State on Saturday, because I thought both teams on Wednesday played extremely hard. I thought it was a great college atmosphere. The Xfinity Center was rocking. But my first thought was literally, like, I got to find a way to make sure that, you know, we can now go at Penn State and find a way to win against a tough Penn State team.
And then you went up there on Saturday afternoon and got that done. Now, you got Gillespie hits two threes. You're up 6-0. clock malfunction, then there was kind of a delay in the game, and I'm certainly not trying to get you to say that that was reasons or excuses, because you did win, let's stress that. But was there kind of a vibe where you had lost so many games in a row going back a few years to like, all right, here we are, we're cooking. We've had a couple of days to reflect and get rid of, flush that Michigan State game, and what the hell's going on here? Like, right out of the gate.
Yeah, I mean, I think it. You know, unfortunately, it's like, you know, trying to bounce your team back from a really tough buzzer beater is really tough. And you know, we all kind of were just sitting there waiting. I think one thing that has to get fixed in college basketball is, you know, the refs do a good job of reviewing and usually getting the right call on the review. I just think it needs to happen so much quicker. It's tough for fans to sit there and watch it. It's tough for teams to go through there and watch it. So. Yeah, it was tough, but you know, I'm proud of my guys. They found a way to bounce back. They were really, really, you know, resilient against a tough Penn State team that we've had trouble for. And, you know, it's a good win.
Now, the heartbreaker, Michigan State, to get the win at Penn State. What's the gamut of emotions for the players themselves? I mean, you can't totally flush Michigan State. I'm sure you'd like to see them again next week at the Big Ten tournament. But to get out of there, survive, if you will, against the Nittany Lions, how much more satisfied, if you will, Coach, were the players getting that W? Might not have been style points thing, but a win's all that matters, certainly in March.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, at this time of year, you know, in conference play, you know, I looked at UCLA Northwestern last night and how that came down to a one possession game. You're going to be in these situations. And I think, you know, again, I'm so proud of this team for we've had our last three losses have all been at the buzzer. And for them to be able to bounce back each time and get a W shows you how resilient this team really is.
Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland, tomorrow taking on the Michigan Wolverines. Wolverines got kind of thumped there in the second half against Illinois, but they're back ready to rock and roll. They're number 17 in the country. Now, they match you size-wise with the 2 7-footers there. Dusty Mays, a brilliant coach, as he has proven throughout his young career. But just talk about this match. Like Danny Wolf, for instance, tall, but he brings a little more to the equation, it looks like, Kevin, than just being a tall guy. Kind of a multifaceted big man there.
No, he's really good. I mean, I tell you what, Dusty's done a great job putting this team together. The way they play is really, really fast paced, and they have two big guys, Golden and Wolf, who really play well together. I think Wolf is, you know, he's obviously went from Yale and made a huge jump to the Big Ten Conference, and he's done a tremendous job. So, I mean, it's a tough, you know, Illinois kind of hit 9,000 threes against them the other night, and I think, you know, we have to be ready for Michigan's best shot.
Hey, Coach, talk about Julian Reese the other day against Penn State. I mean, the 6 steals, that was awesome, and then all the rebounds. You know, he didn't have the points, but he made up for a lot of it in other areas.
No, I mean, I think that's what the maturation of Julian Reese has been is, you know, he missed the first couple shots, and, you know, in the past he would have gotten a little down. And, you know, he just was phenomenal, especially the last 5 minutes playing with 4 fouls. He had 3 great contests at the rim. He was just phenomenal. And, he's been so steady. He doesn't get enough credit for how good he's been.
Coach, talk about, you know, the Michigan. It's going to be loud. I'm sure it's going to be crazy. And what do you got to do to come home with a dub?
Yeah, the biggest thing for us, you know, and we did a pretty good job against Michigan State and a good, really good job against Penn State, is we got to take care of the ball and value the basketball. I think that's one thing why we're playing better on the road is that we're really, really getting better at valuing possessions, making sure we get good shots and not quick shots, especially on the road.
Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland, Terps tomorrow, 6:30, taking on Michigan in game. You can hear 105.7 The Fan. We had Jerry Palm on there yesterday from CBSSports.com. He has you guys as a 7, and I know, Kevin, we've talked about the net rankings and how you peruse them and follow them closely because it is an indicator, obviously. But Lenardi's got you 5. Mike DeCourcy, friend of the show, he's got you 4 or 5. Why the 7? When you see that, because Jerry, you try to explain, well, the quad one wins and, you know, et cetera. But when you see a 7, do you go, is he watching the same games we're watching here?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, I think all these guys, you have to understand, I mean, you know, they're also, if you look at the guys that are in front of us, is, you know, a lot of these guys have to make sure they take care of the conferences that are paying them. So, you know, I look at some of these guys and I they never get it correct. The biggest thing that we try to do is just take care of ourselves, worry about ourselves, worry about the net ranking, and, you know, really just try to play good basketball this time of year.
All right, Coach, last thing for you today. Gary Land, our friend Gary Williams, celebrates his 80th birthday, which is mind-boggling in and of itself. How much has Gary been, a guy to you get advice from him? He's certainly an advocate for the program as an alum and a national championship-winning coach. What does Gary Williams mean to Kevin Willard?
Oh, Coach has been great. Ever since I stepped on campus, he's come to practice, obviously been at games. He's been a good golf partner. We've won a lot of money together, which is I love his handicap. Coach has been great. Obviously, he is, you know, what made Maryland basketball, you know, in the 2000s, you know, winning the national championship. He's just been great. He's been a great friend, a great advocate, and we're very lucky that he's so involved with the program.
Kevin Willard, head coach, Terps, number 13 at number 17, Michigan, tomorrow night, 6:30 tip. You can hear it on 105.7 The Fan. Coach, we appreciate the time. Good luck tomorrow night. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks, guys. Great being with you.
You got it. Kevin Willard, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Come back reset for you. What's going on this Turn It Up Tuesday? Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, Ravens Wire. Talk about the Ravens less than a week away from legal tampering. Outside of Ronnie, who are they tampering with? We're going to run down this list of top 10 by position free agents. Got to be honest with you. Not a lot of stuff. Like Sam, with all due respect, Ricky Bobby style. Sam Darnold's the number one quarterback. Is that a good or bad thing?
Not sure.
Yeah, and no Derrick Henry and no Saquon Barkley in this year's running back class either. Maryland tomorrow at Michigan taking on the Wolverines. We just talked to Kevin Willard about that as his team's coming off that tough nail biter. Didn't play all that great, but they won nonetheless at Penn State, where they lost seven in a row. They've lost five straight here at Chrysler against Michigan, and Michigan's coming off a loss at home where Illinois got on them like a Kmart suit in the second half. Big win, by the way, for Illinois, trying to reestablish themselves as a team to maybe keep an eye on once we get to March Madness. But for Michigan, hurt their chances big time of winning the Big Ten regular season. That's going to be Michigan State. Terps are two games behind Sparty, so Maryland, or two games behind Michigan. Maryland beats them, then they beat Northwestern, then Michigan loses to Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And Maryland possibly could squeeze the number two seed out of here. But first things first, handle your business, and we'll talk more about that one tomorrow as well. But as we get to Kevin Allstriker, and we'll talk about the Ravens here, with the draft coming up and the Ravens' 27th pick, ESPN's Jordan Renan is saying the Giants are likely to trade for the first pick in the 2026 or 2025 NFL draft.
From 3-1, correct?
And that's Tennessee right now.
Yeah. If that's the case, Bob, then Tennessee doesn't have a conviction about Cam Ward. Because if there's a quarterback there and you think he's the guy, you got to take him. You got to take him. So they're going to trade back to 3, probably. I don't know. What would they get? They'd probably get to go a couple spots. I'd have to see what the numbers were, but I don't think a next year's one. That would be involved. Probably maybe a 2 this year and a 2 next year, something like that.
But according to Jordan, if the Giants do swing the trade, they're taking Cam Ward at number 1.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. And then do they – maybe the Giants like Shedeur Sanders and – because what's Cleveland going to do? I mean, that's going to be the thing at 2, is what's Cleveland going to do? I mean, they need a quarterback also. Or, you know, if you trade back and you're Tennessee, listen, we can get Carter. We can get Travis Hunter. We can get the two best players in the draft. That's not a quarterback. So by trading back, if they're not comfortable with the quarterback, smart move.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, says the Steelers are likely to keep Justin Fields over Russell Wilson.
I can kind of get it, Bob, because Fields 26. Russell Wilson, what's he going to give you? One more year? And they averaged 14 points a game the last four games. And they lost, what, five in a row? Go with the younger guy, I guess, would be, you know, and they want to run the football and play action pass. And then you can have Fields, you know, running the ball also. And then maybe they draft a guy somewhere in there, too. I'd imagine that they'll take a quarterback that they like a little bit.
Speaking of quarterbacks, does not look like, according to sources, that Minnesota will tag Sam Darnold, which means he'll hit the open market with a chance to cash in, maybe for the only time in his career. And he did kind of reestablish himself as someone that can win games, got to the playoffs. But we talked about it yesterday. He was dreadful. Last two games of the season, one for a chance at number one against Detroit, and then the playoff debacle against the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, could he fit into what the Raiders are doing? I mean, what does Pete Carroll like to do? Pete Carroll wants to run the football, and they like to throw it down the field. I mean, can Darnold do that? I guess Darnold would be okay in that way. I mean, because if, Bob, if he took away those two games at the end, you would say, Sam Darnold, there would be a lot different opinion on Sam Darnold, I think.
Well, if he had balled out, as the young kids say, but he is throwing to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and KJ Osborne, so he's got a plethora of weapons at his disposal, too.
Yeah.
Hockenson.
Yeah. And they had a good offensive line. So you would, I mean, Bob, that's a 50-50er, you know? Of what you're going to get. Is he going to be, he's not getting 50 mil. There's no way in hell. I think he gets a Baker Mayfield deal is what I think. Anything over that, you think he's a lot better than that.
Right, but what's your confidence level on him kind of being a steady, above average winning quarterback, which Baker has become, and Tampa? I mean, he's led them to the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Bob, if he could become... You know, I was thinking like kind of a comparable type guy. If he could become like Brad Johnson. Remember Brad? If he could become that. Like we had him in Washington. He was a Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. And then he went to Tampa, won a Super Bowl. So if he could be efficient like that, not turn the ball over, you know, and then run the football and be serviceable.
Orioles are off today. ESPN.com has graded, Nolan, the team's off seasons. For instance, Dodgers get an A+ because they spent $1 billion. Orioles get a C-. And we'll explain why ESPN feels as though, even though the payroll's up 58 mil, even though it's up over 90 mil the last couple of years, still think they're a good team, which everyone, of course, that pays attention believes, but sooner or later going to spend some dough. But maybe there was more to the equation than what the Orioles decided to do. And David Rubenstein said, hey, I'm willing to spend. Was it more Mike Elias? Was it more of the owner? Now the massive thing is settled. Who really knows? But a C- given to a team that a lot of people expect is going to be one of the best in the American League. Boy, how quickly we are spoiled with a brief period of success here.